This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the lonesome voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. Lonesome, indeed. I don't know if I'd use the word lonesome. What's a more positive word? That sounds a little bit... It sounds a little bit negative, lonesome.
Okay, how about free-spirited? Does that work? I don't know if that works for this, to be honest with you.
It's a bit better. It's a bit better. Yeah, something along that, like someone who is on their own that is moving forward in life.
Okay, the nomadic voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee. But yes, okay, we're going to go with free-spirited because you did fly solo. In fact, that would probably be better, the solo voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee, because you did something that was good for personal growth, Richard. I'm very happy to hear what you've been up to. So please, explain to our listeners.
Yeah, you really enjoyed this, didn't you? I mean, for me, this is quite a normal thing. But this goes back to that question where you ask people, oh, would you go for dinner on your own? Would you go to the cinema on your own? Well, last night I went to Kevin Hart. He was playing locally, so I went on my own. And I don't think that's a big deal. But I've mentioned it to a few people. Like, oh, who are you going with? No, I'm going on my own. I want to go and see Kevin Hart. Don't want any distractions. I don't want anyone talking to me. I want to go on my own.
And I'm down with that. I don't see it as an issue at all. I love going to the cinema on my own. On many occasions, I've been to a restaurant on my own. I don't know exactly what this says about me, other than the fact I'm very comfortable with my own company. So, you know, there's no issue at all with that. And perhaps, Richard, after all this time, you're now getting to that place.
I think the slight difference is you had a lot of people turn down your invites. But, I mean, look, we won't go there. That's something different. But no, of course. I enjoyed it because it is one that you can go. If you're going to something like that, like cinema on your own, absolutely. You want to go and watch a good film. You want to focus. You want to enjoy it. Why do you need somebody sat next to you? What is that? I don't get that. It's like a thing. So I don't really get it because I've mentioned it to a few people and every single person said the same thing. Like, and almost, what's the word? Like almost like a bit of sympathy. Like, oh, you're going on your own. Yes, I'm going on my own. That should be, oh, fantastic. You're going on your own. Not sympathy. I don't need your sympathy. I have chosen to go on my own.
How was it?
Really good. Yeah, really good. I mean, I'm sure like many of our listeners, I'm a big fan of his. Like, I do love his brand of comedy. And yeah, it was good. It was quite interesting, actually, because so you go into the venue. So in Dubai, Coca-Cola Arena, very nice arena, I must say. But you go in and they lock your phones away, believe it or not. So
brilliant. Even this is getting better and better. Yeah,
it's like a clever little pouch. So you keep your phone on you, but they put it in this pouch. It locks and there's no way you can unlock it until you get back out of the show and then they unlock it. But of course, it was for reasons. I think this particular show isn't going to come out until middle of the year. So they wanted to keep it, keep it secret. I'm assuming it's for that reason. Obviously, a little bit weird for me, given that I'm that guy that does get anxiety when he doesn't have his phone on him. So a little bit weird not being able to check my phone for a few hours. But it was quite nice at the same time. I know you would have absolutely loved it.
Living in the moment, just enjoying what is in front of you and not thinking about getting your phone out to film it so you can tell everyone else what you were doing. Just thoroughly enjoying what was there in front of you, Richard.
Very true. And actually, it wasn't just one phone I had. It was two. And I'm not a two-phone guy, but I had two because I have just moved over to a new phone. The process of changing iPhone... Do you know what? This is a goalkeeping podcast. I'm not even going to go into that. It's a completely different podcast. But it really does take a few weeks to do the transition from one phone to the other, I find. So I'm glad I've done it now and I'm sort of getting to the other end of it. But yeah, I've had to operate off two phones. So I had to put two in my little pouch.
Okay, you did say this is a goalkeeping podcast, which it is indeed. So let's bring this back to goalkeeping. Let's bring you going to Kevin Hart on your own, flying solo, being totally comfortable in oneself, back to goalkeeping.
Let me think of a performance of the weekend. Do you know what? I'm going to go with Areola. I thought he was excellent and he has certainly got heart.
Okay, not quite what I was looking for, but fine. On with the show.
Let's do it.
We shall start in the Premier League, Richard. But before we do that, in fact, I would like you to tell me what this group of players have in common, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to read out quite a few here. So we have Thomas Suchek of West Ham, Totti of Wolves, Matty Cash of Aston Villa, Francisco Sierralta of Watford, Jason Sealt of Sunderland, Luke Wolfenden of Ipswich, Cameron Humphreys-Grant of Rotherham, Michael Rose of Stoke, Tom Bradbury of Cheltenham, Christian Sadie of Portsmouth, Liam Bennett of Cambridge, Mickey Dimitriou of Crewe, Jacob Beddo of Morecambe, Anthony O'Connor of Harrogate, Joe Kitsey of Sutton, Liam Gordon of Walsall, and Emmanuel Adeboyega, also of Walsall. Please, what do those players, Richard, all have in common?
I have absolutely no idea. I'm going to go with something, given that this is a goalkeeping podcast, I'm going to go with maybe they were all goalkeepers at one point in time.
Well, none of them are goalkeepers. However, this weekend they showed that maybe they have the credentials to be goalkeepers, because I don't know whether you remember, a couple of weeks ago we did the whole rebound, ricochet, own goal statistic where it seemed like there were more than there normally are on one weekend. This weekend there were 17 different goal line clearances. 17 in one weekend. Now, I just found that to be slightly more than it normally is. And all of those players I've just mentioned made a goal line clearance of some sort.
Okay, that is a lot. That does feel like a lot. Again, I don't feel like I've got anything to compare it to. Like, if you'd have said to me, and Richard, do you know the average weekend goal line clearances is 3.2? Then I would have been like amazed. I'd have been like, that is incredible. But that does sound like a lot of goal line clearances.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting stat.
Mm. I mean, you've got nothing to compare it to. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, he's done this. Well, okay, but does he normally do that? Is it, who knows? It could have been 20 last weekend for all I know.
Yeah, I've got nothing to compare it to, like was the case last time. And having to do it every week would be quite the undertaking. So let's just take it that it's a nice little stat for this podcast. And we'll move on, shall we? Mm. So, starting at Turf Moor, Burnley 0, Bournemouth 2. Save of the weekend, which is why we are starting here. Neto flying across his goal to keep out Jakob Brun Larsen. And a very good free kick from him, but an even better save.
Yeah, this was a world-class save, Matthew. Do you know what I actually quite liked about this in particular was, so the free kicks from, if you're looking at the goal from the right-hand side, ordinarily, this is the left footer. Left footer over the wall. It's curling away from the goalkeeper. But it was also the fact that I think there was an element of surprise in this, and that it was the right footer that's kind of gone up, obviously up over the wall. And it makes it a bit tougher in that it's always coming back in towards you, but it starts so far away from you. So it's that one. And I think what you could see, if it's a left footer curling it around the wall, the angle of the dive is very different because the ball's kind of always moving away. So you can dive forward and try and get that hand to it to get it around the post. Obviously, when it comes the other way, if you actually consider the arc of the ball, if you do that dive forwards and you're trying to cut the ball out, at the point at which you beat the ball, it's too far away from you. It'll be at the furthest point it can possibly be away. So you can see with Neto the quick thinking to effectively dive back on himself, but it's the perfect technique because this is the moment at which he can meet the ball and actually make the save. There is always the risk as to whether you're going to be in the goal itself and whether it will cross the line. And this was very, very close to crossing the line, but he's absolutely executed this perfectly. I mean, we can talk about the power, the technique, the speed, but the actual execution of meeting the ball literally on the goal line and getting a full hand to it to keep it out, I think we're probably starting with save of the weekend.
Absolutely. And you mentioned him at the start, Alphonse Areola. You said that he had heart. He made 10 saves in West Ham's 3-1 victory at Goodison Park against Everton. One from the spot from Beto. And the saves that he made were hugely influential because West Ham scored twice in injury time to win that game. Very good performance yet again from the Frenchman, who is certainly having a good season for West Ham. Maybe staking a claim. I mean, Jared Bowen will probably win it, but maybe staking a claim at least to be second runner-up as West Ham's Player of the Year.
Yeah, he's been excellent. And I kind of feel like as the season's gone on, again, he's built more and more into the role. I know he's had kind of a bit of a funny time over the last few seasons, really, kind of in and out, being a number two for a lot of the time. But everyone's kind of known the quality he has. And I thought this was a really nice game to highlight a few of those qualities. I thought the penalty save was very good. He's read the situation perfectly. You know, the lads had that straight run-up. And you see that so often. You know, as a rule of thumb, if it's a straight run-up, they normally go across themselves. But you could see he's almost gone too far in that he's tried to give it so much disguise that Areola's read exactly what he's looking to do. At the last minute, opens up, puts it into the bottom right-hand corner, left side for Areola, gets down quick, good save, puts it into a good area. And then the couple of saves in particular I want to touch on, just great footwork. The one across the goal, the speed at which he's moved, the one that's then gone over his head, it's going in the far corner. It's that split second where you need to realise the situation, make that assessment as to what you think is going to happen. A great lesson for goalkeepers. And then it's how do I get there as quick as I can? And again, you watch his footwork, crosses the leg slightly, moves incredibly quickly. Top corner, great power spring, which we know he's got. Excellent save.
Luton 2, Aston Villa 3. And Thomas Kaminski doing his best yet again as well to keep the score down in the first half. And it nearly paid dividends. Luton almost holding out, almost bagging a victory, but actually losing the game. At the other end, Emi Martinez. A good, strong all-round performance. So I thought we should mention him. A couple of nice sides in there too.
Yeah, solid as ever. I feel like we probably don't talk about Martinez enough on this show. You know, there's certain goalkeepers that get highlighted, but I think part of that is the fact that he is just so consistent, you know, and you do wonder, like after winning a World Cup, or you see it a lot with not just goalkeepers, players, where you've achieved the moon landing, effectively, you know, and then where do you go from there? And by the way, do you know what happened to a lot of the guys that landed on the moon?
I don't, go on.
Well, I don't either, but I hear that they had a really tough time because, of course, they had achieved everything they were looking to achieve in life. And then where do you go from there? So actually where I give, and I'm going to bring this back from the moon, back to goalkeeping. Where do you go if you're Emi Martinez? You've won the World Cup. You've achieved so, so much. And yet this is, again, where you just got to give huge credit. And I just feel like he's kept his levels so high. And if anything, you could argue gone to another level. Certainly the way that Villa are playing this season. Yeah, you know, above and beyond expectation. I think having someone like Emi Martinez behind you, such a massive factor in that. And to mention Kaminski, as you say, he's been incredibly solid all season. Really good save to his left here in particular. Positioning perfect, read the situation. The shot was taken early. The reaction to get himself over to his left, very powerful, good parry. And again, another solid performance from him. But once again, Luton losing by the old goal.
Finishing in the Premier League at the Etihad, Man City 3, Manchester United 1. And Andre Onana, who I nearly brought up last week, purely for the fact that it feels like no one's really talked about Andre Onana in recent weeks, which can only be a good thing. He's kind of, you said there that Alphonse Areola has settled into his role at West Ham as the season's gone on. It feels like Onana in the past few months or so has just started to do that at Manchester United. However, the second goal for City scored by Phil Foden's. Phil Foden's second goal of the game. He just received a touch of criticism for that. Did you think that was justified?
I mean, look, it's one of those, and we'll talk about these a lot, where is it an error? Of course it's not. Absolutely not. Is there a goalkeeper that makes that save? Can he make that save on another day? Yeah. It's a tough one because, again, you see it in super slow motion and effectively it looks like it goes under his hand. But, of course, you know, goalkeepers will appreciate this. He's come out, got himself in the angle, good positioning, and it's how quickly can you fire that hand down and try and get a full hand to it. And he just wasn't quite able to do it quick enough. And you always tend to get a question when you get a bit of a hand on it. It just felt like that. So, look, absolutely no error. I thought on the whole in the game, I thought he was very solid. But it's one of those. I had a feeling as soon as it went in, I thought, okay, here we go. And actually, funny enough, it wasn't, I think I was watching the commentary with, I think it was Gary Neville, I think, but he didn't really say too much. I think it was Andy Townsend, I think, on another commentary that just mentioned, oh, maybe he could have done a bit more. And look, maybe he could. Another goalkeeper on another day or him on another day, maybe they get a full hand to it, but certainly no error there.
And actually, on another commentary in the US, Stephen Warnock said that he would have been bitterly disappointed, apparently. So, yeah, all conflicting opinions on that. I do have one final stat for you, Richard, that does have a comparison that you can actually draw from. So it's got slightly more meat to the bones.
Go on, then.
That is that Andre Onana made 8 successful high claims against Man City in that game on Sunday, which is more than any goalkeeper has managed in a Premier League match this season. And for the comparison, David De Gea made a total of 14 claims in the entirety of last season.
There you go. That's a good stat. That's really good. Well done. Well done.
It It is the EFL overview, starting in the Championship, where it was good to see a goalkeeper not have one cannon off the post onto his back and back into the net for once. So that was the case with Gavin Batsunu, who saw Leandro Bakuna's effort rebound for a corner in a ding-dong battle between Birmingham and Southampton. Ben Hamer conceding an early free kick from Zion Fleming in Watford's defeat to Millwall. So it looks like there was a deflection on this one, on a day, by the way, of dodgy deflections. Keen to get your take on that one. Vaslav Hladký potentially with a spot of fortune in seeing Mikel Miller's effort bounce off the post and out as Ipswich won at Plymouth. So I wasn't going to include this, but thought it could be worth a mention purely from the perspective that luck can sometimes be on your side. And in the stalemate between Preston and Hull, Ryan Allsopp was both brave and athletic in denying first Emil Reese, then Will Keane, and then Liam Miller, while Freddie Woodman got down low and quick to prevent a late winner from Jaden Philogene.
Yeah, well, starting with Ben Hamer, and you're right, it did take a little nick, which then made that a bit more difficult, and it was unfortunate because he got there and he just couldn't quite get a hand to get it round the post. But it's sometimes tough, and again, this is where, and again, goalkeepers, certainly goalkeepers playing in front of cameras will appreciate this, where certain camera angles can do you a favour and certain camera angles don't, you know, because you watch it first time, you can't really see the deflection and you do question it, but when you watch it again slowly, you see the nick that it takes, and of course that makes it that much more difficult. I actually watched the game, Plymouth versus Ipswich, so I saw this, and it was one of those moments, as you say, where had this have gone in, of course, knowing what commentators are like, and no doubt Hladký himself would probably look at it and be a little bit frustrated with himself, but it was one of those moments where it just sort of squirmed through, gone under his arm a bit, but the fact that it then hits the post, it's that fine line. Does it then go down as a good save? Because he has kept it out and he's got down sharp to his right, but it is one that had it have gone in, I'm sure there would have been a question mark or two. Excellent performance again from Ryan Allsopp, as you say, several very, very good saves. I enjoyed the top hand one in particular, in that it was, I don't know how to describe it other than normally a top hand save can be very extravagant. You know, it's kind of something that goalkeepers love to make, that top corner, top hand, fully extended, people coming over after giving you a little bit of love. But for this one, it was a very controlled top hand save. Like, he looks so in control throughout, just a nice floating in the air, parries it into a good area, just never looked bothered whatsoever. So I did enjoy that about that particular save. And as you mentioned, really good save from Freddie Woodman low down. That one again where the shot's taken quite early. He's in a good position, sets quick, gets down, good hand, gets out of danger.
Into League One, where Jack Stevens may have been on the losing side as Cambridge fell 2-0 at Bolton, but it could have been plenty more had it not been for the 9 saves made by the U's number one. So pick of the bunch probably coming in the first half when pushing away Josh Dacres-Cogley's effort wide. Heck of a first half between Portsmouth and Oxford, to Jamie Cumming perhaps culpable for the opener scored by Callum Lang, but very much making amends with a few saves, including one 5 or so minutes later from Colby Bishop. Great reactions again, similar actually to last week in leaping towards his top right hand corner. Pompey, however, taking all 3 points there. A heavy touch from Harry Eisted, allowing Northampton back into their contest with Charlton. So he just let the ball drift a tad too far before a subsequent challenge and ricochet allowed Louis Apparé to tap into an empty net for an equaliser. It finished one apiece. Spawny goal of the week has to go to Tom Carroll of Exeter. Horrid for Jed Steer, who tried in vain to stop what didn't look like a goal-bound effort looping wildly off the back of a defender and agonisingly landing in the net. And Jed Ward gets another mention. So 3 saves of note in a big away win for Bristol Rovers at Leyton Orient. That's 5 and 8 since he stepped in. First blocking Rule Saturio's path to goal, then diving left to parry Max Sander's shot, and best of all, brilliantly touching wide when Joe Piggott thought he'd bagged a certain equaliser in injury time.
Yeah, I think we've got to start there. I thought Jed Ward, excellent again. As you mentioned, the 2 full stretch saves in particular, one to his left, one to his right. Good save with his feet. And I know we mentioned this before, but I love the fact they are giving him a run in the team now. You know, we see so often clubs bringing people in on loan like they did earlier in the season. And certainly it's nothing against Matthew Cox, but I just feel that certainly League One, League Two teams, when you're in similar, I suppose, in the position that Bristol Rovers are in, where you can blood a youngster and give them that opportunity. And they've done that, and it's certainly paying off in a big way for them and him. Also to mention the Jack Stevens save, I thought, and this again, I've put down a lot on my notes here in terms of positioning. Then I saw him make a very similar save to this not so long ago where he comes across, and we talk a lot about goalkeepers that overcover their near, and this is a great example of taking up a really true position and making yourself as tough to beat as you possibly can. Now, in doing so, you might leave that little bit more at your near post, and effectively, it is almost evens whether they're going to score in the near post or the far post, but you are taking up that true position. And this, he's moved over to his left, got himself in that perfect position, and the speed at which he gets back down to his right, gets a good fingertip to it to get it away. I thought it was a world-class save, this. Felt for Harry Eisted, horrible moment, ball comes back. It's the moment he takes the touch out of his feet, and it is that little bit too far, but, you know, I could see it. I've been there myself, that moment of panic where you realise that touch is too much, tries to make the tackle, actually makes the tackle, but, of course, then the ball breaks free and they tap it into an empty net. So a tough moment for him. And lastly, yeah, Jamie Cumming, I put the goal. It's one of those horrible squirmy ones. You know, he's, like you say, he's made several fine saves. Good save up into the top right-hand corner. But it's horrible when it's in and around you. They're close in, and it just squirms through. And there's, yeah, it happens. You know, it's, again, a tricky moment. But certainly, you know, the amount of saves he made in the game more than made amends.
And finally, in League Two, another stat, Richard. Grimsby 1, Forest Green Rovers 0. One shot on target, 0 saves made. So quite the afternoon for Harvey Cartwright and Vicente Reyes there. Glenn Morris with 2 from 2 and a 100% clean sheet record. A second winning succession for the Gills on an absolute quagmire of a surface at Salford. Horrendous conditions, not matched by a decent stop from Elliot Watt in the first half from Morris. Steve Arnold, so following up a debut mention on the show last week with another fine performance for Sutton at Tranmere. An excellent straight down the middle penalty save from Connor Jennings. A really good one-on-one stop late on as Kieran Morris closed in, but cruelly done by a deflection for the winner scored by Rob Apter. And can we just talk about the scenes at Plough Lane and AFC Wimbledon for that dying embers winner against MK Dons of all teams. So Ashley Bayes, Bezo, up with the absolute bedlam and high-fiving pretty much every fan on his way to the dugout. You love to see it.
Yeah, it was good to see. I mean, everyone that knows Bezo, massive, massive character in the game. And yeah, he near enough did high-five every single member of the crowd. He was, yeah, big smile on his face. Of course, first time they're beating them in 10 attempts, I think, and to do it in that fashion, and again, against a team that have been flying. You know, MK Dons have been very, very good in recent times under Mike Williamson, of course, but yeah, you could see just how much it meant to AFC. Great moment for them. And yeah, you mentioned a couple of the goalkeepers there. Certainly Arnold definitely deserves a mention. I think it was 13 shots on target, I want to say, in this game for Tranmere. And the penalty save, that for me is doing your research, because you can see he's made the decision straight away. I am staying still. I believe the ball's going to come near me. But even so, the penalty taker actually drags it ever so slightly, so it's not straight down his throat. It's not one where he can just stand still and make the save. He has to react very quickly with his right leg. It's a good foot to it, and it then flies up and over the bar. Very, very good save. And Glenn Morris, as you mentioned, step back in. A couple of clean sheets now. Again, a couple of big moments in this. Very brave in one situation, coming out and thwarting the danger. Another one full stretch to his left. And credit to him, because it's never easy to step in after not having played for so long. Of course, he's not a young pup anymore, but certainly, you know, he is, for me, the definition of a really, really steady goalkeeper. You know, when he does step in, more often than not, you know what you're going to get from a Glenn Morris. Clean Sheet Club. Okay, we have made it to this part of the show and the message has come through. I have the information in front of me and it does look like there's a lot of clean sheets this week, which is great. Fantastic. Delighted for the goalkeepers. Not quite so happy for myself because I can see that Matt has written a lot. Let's see how this goes. Yes, it is Clean Sheet Club. We start in the Premier League. Bernd Leno, the better the devil. Martin Dubravka, tally doubled. Quevin Kelleher, corking. Neto, here we go. David Raya, cleaning all day. Into the Championship, Ethan Horvath, clean and win one. Matthias Arkic, no tier here. Angus Gunn, oozing 9mm confidence. Batcav Plaidke, not Bladke. Freddie Woodman, he's good, man. Ryan Alsop, top of top. James Beadle, stop. Dan Everson, oh my gording. and into League One. Joel Coleman, first since January 2022. Luke Southwood, Fine Pine, Max Crocombe, thinking about keeping that hair silky. Joe Wildsmith, I repeat, Joe Wildsmith. Jed Ward, Tally Double Mark II, Lucas Jensen, One Off a Siren, Tay Ashby Hammond, Hattrick, Dan Grimshaw, going down in folklore. And into League Two, Alex Bass, longest run of successive career games. Harvey Cartwright, every shutout he does, every shutout he says, every shutout he rocks, every shutout he plays. Christy Pym, Creeping, Glenn Morris, Tally Double Mark III, Luke McGee, Prenton and on. Arthur Okonkwo, Nelly.
I would normally say that was very, very good, but yeah, it was a tough one.
It was a tough one. You made it particularly tough. There's so much of that I don't get. So much.
Okay. Well, we'll move on to the table, shall we? Because there's been before
we move on, I mean, is there any you want to explain? Because I know you spend a lot of time over this, and
I don't. I've read them out. I feel like you make a bigger deal out of this than I do, Richard.
I mean, okay, let me just pick one out here. I mean, there was one that was really long. Every shutout he does, every shutout he says, every shutout he rocks, every shutout he plays. I'm guessing song lyrics.
Yeah, it is. It's this.
Okay, so MC Harvey. I don't know who he is, but okay, I will. Fine.
The table, Richard. The table. So top of the pile still, Will Norris with 16 in 36, and the two below him on 15 are Alex Palmer in 35 and Lucas Jensen in 36, and in 33 it's Ian Melier with 14.
Okay, it is hotting up. Not long to go.
Not long to go. Will Norris, who has been pretty much top of the pile for most of the season now, will he remain there as the season comes to its close? It's all very, very, very gritty. We've got a bit of admin to finish up, Richard, and we are going to have one of these.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper.
So Heidenheim goalkeeper in the Bundesliga, Kevin Müller, conceded, I guess you could call it, an unfortunate own goal against Eintracht Frankfurt. They lost the game 2-1, but this one, despite what the commentator on the Bundesliga coverage stated as being horrendous by Müller, was absolutely not his fault whatsoever. In fact, I believe there has been a petition from the fans to take action against the groundsman for the unfortunate bobble that occurred just before Müller was about to punt the ball up the pitch.
Yeah, it was the classic Paul Robinson, wasn't it, back in the day? Was it against Croatia?
Mm.
If my memory serves me right. It was that one. There's nothing you can do. There is nothing you can do. He's making the right decision to go long. Someone's closing him down. Ball's rolling back to him. Gone to clear it. And it is funny because you watch it again like in slow motion and it rolls perfectly the whole way. And it's literally as he's about to swing, it just pops up over his foot. And as you say, absolutely nothing he can do.
Horrid. Did you ever have any of them in your career?
Never that it went in. I mean, lots of bad kicks, which I blamed on bobbles.
But none that went in. Okay.
No.
Quick word on Bailey Peacock-Farrell. Suffered quite the injury against Odense. On loan at the moment, of course, from Burnley at Aarhus in the Danish Superliga. But yes, received quite the blow to the head, to the nose as well.
Yeah, not nice at all. He's having a top game as well until that point. And again, life of a goalkeeper. Yeah, quite the knock. Hopefully not too serious. I suppose the biggest thing is for the wound to heal, because it looked like quite a nasty wound. Obviously broken nose as well. So no doubt we'll be seeing him in a mask of sorts, as is the case when a goalkeeper breaks their nose or cheek. But yeah, wish him a speedy recovery.
And finally, so I'm going to read this verbatim, Richard. This is from the Guardian website, which stated that dawdling goalkeepers are to be given more time to hold on to the ball, but subjected to a countdown by the referee and punished if they fail to release in time under new plans to combat time wasting in football. So, apparently a number of trials were announced at Loch Lomond at the annual general meeting of the IFAB board, so the International Football Association board, on Saturday. And the article continues to state that under its new proposals, which can be trialled from next season in any competition other than the top two divisions of domestic leagues, goalkeepers will be able to hold onto the ball for 8 seconds rather than the traditional six. But for the last 5 seconds, now get this, shambles, The referee will raise his hand and count down five fingers to warn the player of how much time they have remaining. If no fingers are visible, can you believe I'm actually still reading this, and the keeper still has the ball, trials would allow for the opposition to either be given a throw-in in line with the penalty spot or a corner.
Okay. It's like a bad game of hide and seek. You know, I'm coming, ready or not.
Are we going to have the referee holding his hand up and counting it down with the fans going 5, 4, 3? It's flipping it. Like, what's the game coming to?
I know. That and blue cards. And I mean, who knows where it's going? I mean, is this just the game evolving, Matthew? Is this the next? Because that won't be long. If that actually does take off and that is a thing, it won't be long before there is then like an actual clock or a countdown in the stadium, you know, a big LED clock somewhere high up that every time the goalkeeper gets it. I mean, look, it's making it more fun, Matthew. That's what it's doing. It's getting the crowd more involved, and this is what they want.
Is it? Is this what they want? Okay, fine. Richard, this has been fantastic. We will be back to, I say normal, but this is kind of normal, but I will be back home in the UK as of next week. You will remain in Dubai. And at some point, we will be together towards the end of the month too. So we'll be doing this back in person.
And I cannot wait for you to be here. By the way, the spare room is booked that way. I don't know if I told you that. Spare room's booked that week. So nice hotel around the corner though.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Keepers.
Wait.